Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Welcome to a ministry committed to pursuing truth from the Word of God and to seeing the Word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ's point of view. As God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. Norbert, this one's for you. Norbert called us on the request line. So... the opening song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trouble anywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll hold and shield you. He will give you solace there.
That was beautiful, huh? Next week, we're going to do the rap version of that. Next week, we're going to do the rap version of that. Oh. Boop, 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 boop. Take it to the Lord in prayer. No? Bad idea, Dorothy? It's a bad idea. Dorothy said, no. No. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Show us what you are willing to do for us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 4. As unbelievable as they may seem, God's promises are guarantees. As unbelievable as they may seem, God's promises are guarantees. So Abram and his wife Sarah must have been the butt of many jokes during their lifetime, especially as they were advancing in years. Abraham was impotent, Sarah was barren, yet they both clung with faith to the hope that one day they would have a child. In this lesson, we'll learn why Abraham and Sarah had so much confidence in the face of their circumstance when everyone around them doubted. First, a few announcements. The first is that September 14th, our service will be, I don't blame you, September 14th, our service will be from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It'll be an evening service, so no morning service that day. And we will include in that service the Lord's Supper celebration. These are the dates in the fourth quarter when we will not have face-to-face teaching, October 6th and 19th. The 19th is my wedding day.
Yay!
November 16th, December 7th, and 28th are days when we will not have face-to-face teaching. But we will have lessons posted, so no problem. Conversational Bible study for the month of September will be September 24th from 7 p.m. to 8:30. We had that this week and really was enjoyable to get a chance to be in a casual forum or an informal forum and just talk about our questions about the Word of God and share experiences with each other. It was really an amazing time. We're going to also do a conversational Bible study for the non-resident congregation. Our first one will be on October 1st from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if you'd like to be a part of that, if you're in the non-resident congregation, if you want to be a part of that, send me a note with your email address at pastor@baranministries.com, and I will send you the invitation to join that conference online. So send me a note at pastor@baranministries.com if you're in the non-resident congregation, and you are more than willing, welcome to join us for that conversational Bible study. Like us on Facebook, Barah Ministries has built a community of nearly 1,600 people online, and we encourage you to get your friends to like us today. That's going to be it's going to be very interesting what we're going to do in the new year. After we get our new video set up, we're going to do a series of 10-minute lessons that'll be very attractive to people who want to come and just get mindset moments from Scripture and get some encouragement from Scripture, and hopefully that will lead them into a permanent relationship with this ministry. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Contribute to the food drive, please. Help fight hunger in our community. UnitedFoodBank.org is where you can make a contribution. Or in the back of the church for you in the resident congregation, non-perishable food is accepted. Cash donations are welcome. $1 provides for 5 meals. Online donations accepted at UnitedFoodBank.org. UnitedFoodBank.org. And be sure to mention Barah Ministries. Now let's take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge. And let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one of you must do what is purposed in your heart, and not grudgingly under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
All right, good morning. Oh, and I turned the effect on. Third try is a charm. All right, good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. So we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others around the world. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And lately we've been talking a lot about faith and Abraham and Sarah, and I never really related to Abraham because of his age, I think. And now as I reflect on my own life and my own circumstances, you know, I'm just like Abraham. You know, they call me and Emily AMA, advanced maternal age. So we weren't supposed to have a kid. You know, I'm closing in on 40. And there was doubt creeping in that we weren't going to be able to have a child. And we tried and tried. And, you know, Emily had a miscarriage. And it was a horrible circumstance that I'm sure many of you have experienced. And, you know, in the same way, I think doubt creeps in all of our lives, whether it's health or finances or, you know, our golf game, our putting and whatnot. But I think, you know, you look at others and you compare, and that only creates more doubt. You look at somebody else who's maybe younger than you, and they're richer than you are, and, you know, you think, how can I get rich if that person is already rich? Or you see somebody that's smoking, and they're very old, and you're like, well, he's smoking. He must be fine, so I can smoke. And, you know, that's the wrong way to go about it, is to have that comparison in your life, you know. You just need to compare yourself to God's plan. And, you know, that's what Abraham did. He had such tremendous patience. You know, not originally, but after a while he did. You know, he thought, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to God's promise, and we all have God's promise, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, I find a lot of strength in that verse because, you know, he's 100 years old and he still was able to have faith. You know, I think at that age, we're probably going to have a lot of doubt and a lot of worries. You're going to start to see the end. The end is soon, and a lot of other things are going to come in focus. And I think, you know, as a church, we have a lot of doubters. We've had a lot of people doubt our ability and not have patience. But God promised that we would have a church. God gave us a tremendous pastor. And I think we can all have faith through that. We can all be patient, knowing that even though this church is, you know, not 100 years old, but very young, and that, you know, there's no roadblocks that this church can't overcome. And with your giving and your time, your treasure, and your talent, this place is going to go very far. So thank you very much for your giving. Now you can turn the song on, Mike.
Today's study in Romans chapter 4, as unbelievable as they may seem, God's promises are guarantees. To the resident and non-resident members of Barah Ministries, to our guests who join us from time to time, and to all believers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Spirit, and from the manifest member of the Godhead, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As believers in Christ, we live steadfast in the absolute confidence that what God promises, He is also able to perform. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "But now faith, hope, and unconditional love abide in the sphere of these three." And if you're going to abide in a sphere, you can see yourself inside of the geodesic dome at Disney World. A sphere surrounds you on all sides. Faith, hope, and unconditional love abide in the sphere of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love. We have faith when we place our confidence wholly in God and not at all in ourselves. And we have hope when we know with absolute confidence that the promises of God that He makes, He will absolutely perform. God gives hope to our hopelessness. And when we rest when we know that God loves us unconditionally and that mistakes are a real part of the Christian experience. Yet the faithful God does not ever hold our mistakes against us. In God we have peace. And when you hear that in God we have peace, what that means is that God has nothing against you. We're going to take a look at that in the fifth chapter of Romans. You have peace with God. That means He has absolutely nothing against you because of what Christ did to create that situation at the cross. Now, God brings us all three realities, faith, hope, and love, right into our existence. And we certainly know when we demonstrate these qualities that nothing in us would ever want to do any of those. So when we exhibit faith, we know that God did it. When we have hope, we know that God did it. When we show unconditional love to others, we know that God did it, because there is nothing in us that wants to do any of those things. And I am one of the great ones for taking credit for what God does for me. Oh, yeah, I did it. You know, if I get a new customer, I did it. Look at me. But, you know, that's just the old competitive guy in me, or the guy who loves achievement. But I know for sure that who really did it is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we continue our look into the lives of Abraham and Sarah, we continue our study of righteousness and justification and faith. We take comfort in our humanness. Like Abraham and Sarah, we doubt God's promises. Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." We doubt God. We want Him to give us a sign. Give us a sign. And He always does. And even when He does, we're ignoring it. It'll be right in front of our face. To the Jews in the first century, He was there, right there in front of them. The Lord, the God the Son, Ho Logos, the Word, became flesh and tabernacled among us. He was right in front of them. And they asked for sign after sign after sign after sign, and He did all of the hundreds of things that He had predicted in the Old Testament scripture, and they didn't notice any of them. So like the unbeliever, we believers seek for a sign, and if we simply notice, God will let us see it. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We're going to take a look at Genesis 17, Genesis 18, Genesis 21, to continue our look into the depth of Abraham and Sarah's story. In the last lesson, we did Genesis chapter 16, and now we move on to 17, 18, and 21. So imagine, as we go through these next three chapters, that you are Abraham or Sarah. Imagine that. And imagine that you're hearing these magnificent promises of God. How would you take it? All right, so let's begin at Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. "Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, God the Son, appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty.'" And he is now calling himself by a different name than he called himself when he first met Abram. He's calling himself El Shaddai. which means the Almighty God. I am God Almighty. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. What is he saying to him? Live the Christian way of life that I've given you from the moment of salvation. We are blameless. And when we walk, we create a lifestyle. And our lifestyle is to be a lifestyle of righteousness. And a lifestyle of righteousness is letting God mold the righteousness in you. It's not something that you have to work at. He's working at it on your behalf. And that's what he's asking of Abram right here. The Lord reveals himself to Abram by a new name. And he is also about to give Abram a new name. Genesis 17:2. I, the Almighty God, will establish my covenant between me and you, Abram, and I will multiply you exceedingly. All right, you're 99 years old. What are you thinking? You're thinking the same thing that you're thinking when you're 60. Oh, my days are numbered. My days are numbered. I saw it on TV the other day. I'm going to have osteoporosis. I'm going to be bent over for the rest of my life. Nothing's going to go well for me. I'm going to start talking about my health to everybody. I'm going to start talking about my creaks and aches and pains. And I'll be in diapers in 3 years, because you can tell you're going to be in diapers in three years when food starts catching on your mouth all the time. You ever notice that? No, that's not the way the Christian's life is going. Now, you can buy into that life if you want to. The young guys are saying, what is he talking about? I'm not wearing diapers. Yeah, you guys, you don't have to worry about any of this, see? You know, we look at you, we're kind of jealous. Like, oh, wow, look, he can run, he can jump. We hate you. I don't think that's right as a Christian, but we do. I, the Almighty God, will establish my covenant between me and you, Abram, and I will multiply you exceedingly. If we're 99 years old, we're not believing that. Genesis 17:3, Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. And no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. So Abram means high father. Abraham means father of a multitude of nations. So he has changed Abram's name to Abraham because he is giving him a name that will remind him of the promise. Genesis 17:6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, your wanderings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God is promising Abraham two things, seed and land, descendants and real estate. Now, let me bring this to you. I travel extensively throughout Asia, and I have spent time in Israel, and I'm going to be in Germany this year, which is, of course, in Europe, and I will have a bunch of Israelis in my session, and I enjoy talking to them because one of the things we talk about is this real estate covenant that God made with Abraham. The Jews were promised land that they don't have right now. And it is land that extends all the way over Arab territories that are Arab territories right now. And they believe with full confidence that God is going to come through for them. And of course he is. And it's really interesting to just listen to them talk about that. And it's conversely interesting to talk to Muslim friends of mine who are customers, who are absolutely convinced that that will never happen under any circumstances. They will never give up that land. Yeah. And I tell them, hey, you know what? You don't think you're going to give up the land? Let's just turn to the last book of the Bible. Let's check and see what it says. The book is called Revelation. And I want to make a revelation to you. They don't want to hear that. You know, what they tell me is, you know, Rory, you are such an amazing person. You're just so much fun to be around, to listen to. You're so smart. You're almost brilliant. You have this customer development system. It's amazing. It's just this one thing about you. What's that, man? What, my clothes? You know, am I not dressing well? Did I forget to shave? No, I can't believe you're so stupid to believe that Jesus Christ is God. All right, that's it right there. Now, wait. You're about to get knocked out. Start that with me. But that is exactly what they say and exactly what they tell me. Yet, we look right here, and it's all laid out. This is what's going to happen. This is Jesus Christ as God the Son in his pre-incarnate state promising to Abram and his seed, the regenerate Jews, everything. And he will bring it to pass. And that's amazing. God is promising Abraham two things: seed, descendants, and land. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. And God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." Beautiful. Jewish males have a reminder about 10 times a day of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. If they would notice 10 times a day as they excrete liquid from their bodies, they are reminded of an unbreakable covenant between God and the Jewish people. Now, if you think God doesn't have a sense of humor, think it no longer. Take a 5-minute break. Thank you. bouquet butterflies. Welcome back. Genesis chapter 17, verse 14. Now, I asked you, as we started down this path of Genesis 17, to put yourself in Abraham's shoes. How many times, right now in your experience, do you get promises from God, from the Word of God, and you simply don't believe it because you're too old, or you're too whatever? You know, you're too corrupted, you're too ruined, you're too. We simply don't believe. We don't believe that we can be the star in our own movie. I believe you can. God believes you can. Faith. Abraham was 99 and impotent. His wife was barren, and he believed that he could be the star in his own movie. He believed the promises. But this chapter is all God making these promises. And you notice that he keeps saying over and over, I make my covenant with you. I make my covenant with you. I make my covenant with you. You know, a covenant relationship is a relationship that is sealed in blood. And see, so God was saying, I'm going to seal this covenant with my blood. I'm going to do that. I'm making the covenant with you. All right, so we pick it up at Genesis 17, 14. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. And of course, this is an indication of free will. Some would choose to reject circumcision just as sure as some reject salvation, always with a consequence, and the consequence is wrath. If you don't want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ's substitute, accepting your wrath, then you can have it yourself. You can accept the wrath of God for your sins for yourself, even though your sins were paid for. And it's called the lake of fire, Genesis 17, 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah will be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. The Almighty God makes it clear that Ishmael is not the son of promise. Abraham's handling of his own problem in Genesis 16 simply complicated his life. God's plan is never deterred, though, or hindered by our mistakes. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Oh, that Ishmael might be my heir. A man who is impotent and a woman who is barren are sexually dead. And when you're sexually dead, it takes a little bit of your mentality, too, because Abraham was probably mentally dead, too. In other words, we give up at a point, don't we? When something doesn't work out as fast as we think it should, or something doesn't work out the way we think it should, we give up. But God doesn't give up because the Lord is able to resurrect from the dead. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, God said no to Ishmael, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, or in the Hebrew, Itzak, which means he laughs. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Human solutions are never the answer. Genesis 17, 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. And behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. And he shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. So when God finished talking with Abraham, God went up from Abraham. Now, what does that mean? God was in send only here. He was in send only. He was not looking for Abraham's input on the matter. Abraham said, hey, what about Ishmael? Shut up, man. This is my covenant to you. You listen. So, and by the way, there's so many times when God is sending us messages and we just need to shut up. You know, and just accept what he's trying to do for us. So Genesis 17:23, then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and with all the servants who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household. And Abraham circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, just as God had requested of them. That must have been a tough day around the Abraham house. Genesis 17:24. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the foreskin of the flesh of his foreskin. Imagine what those guys must have thought. Is this guy gone nuts? It's like, this is Alzheimer's. Are there any rest homes near? We got to get him into one. What is he doing? Because this is a big ouch. Genesis 17:25. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And that is why 13-year-old males in the Jewish culture have what's called bar mitzvah. It is a celebration of manhood. And it came from this particular verse. Because remember, the first five books of the Bible, the Jewish people recognize that as the Torah. They don't recognize the other books, but they recognize the first five books. And so this is in the Torah. Genesis 17:26, in the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son was circumcised. And all the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. All right, so Abraham's obedience was a testimony of his faith in God. God said, do this. He did it right away. And that's what we need to do. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 18. Abraham in fellowship with his God, walking with him, as God requested back in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, walk with me and be blameless. Now Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. In the heat of the day, you understand that, Phoenicians, right? This climate is the exact same climate in Israel, except there's limestone in Israel. So the sun not only hits that area, but it reflects off the limestone, and it is oppressive heat. So Genesis 18:2, when Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men, the Lord and two angels, were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And then he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. Now, where the Lord and the two angels were going is to devastate Sodom and Gomorrah. But they stopped for a little visit with Abraham. So if you want to read about Abraham's requests to save Sodom and Gomorrah, you can read that in the last part of Genesis 18. So I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So this is Abraham initiating fellowship with the Lord, a true indication of relationship. Genesis 18:6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. And Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf, we call that veal, and gave it to the servant, and the servant hurried to prepare it. Genesis 18:8. And Abraham took curds and milk and the calf, we call that cottage cheese, by the way, took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? And Abraham said, they're in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you at this same time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing age. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So she was really bagging on him, right? That was a verse to bag on him. She said, shall I have pleasure when boyfriend isn't getting it done? Genesis 18:13. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Well, Genesis 18:15, Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And the Lord said, no, but you did laugh. So that is why Isaac means God laughs. Turn to Genesis chapter 21. So let's finish this up. And so in chapter 18, Genesis 18, you get a chance to see what actually happened, where in 17, God makes the covenant. In 18, he has fellowship with Abraham and reminds Abraham of the covenant and gives him a time frame. And so let's see what happened from there. Genesis chapter 21, and as unbelievable as it may seem, the Lord's promises are a guarantee. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. Well, what did he promise? He promised that in a year she would have a son, even though she was barren, that her husband would be able to produce that son, even though he was impotent. Genesis 21, 2. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. God always keeps his promises, no matter how unbelievable they may seem. Genesis 21:3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me, and everyone who hears I have a child at this age will laugh with me. You know, before that they were laughing at her, and now they're laughing with her. Genesis 21:7. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Think of all the things they went through. Think of what that trial must have really been like, to turn your husband over to your maid and have him have sex with her and then have a baby by her and her despising you. Think about what that must have really been like, just on a human realm. I mean, that's torture. And it's a torture that kind of never ends. There's something about that that just digs at you a little bit. But God comes through. See, as unbelievable as they may seem, the Lord's promises are a guarantee. Genesis 21:8. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Sarah's laughter of unbelief was changed to a laughter of faith. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. The laughter of unbelief became the laughter of faith. And I think when we have those circumstances where we're in unbelief and then all of a sudden God comes through and we see that our faith, even though it's as small as a mustard seed, is justified, our faith in the Lord, I think we need to take more time to celebrate those victories. Because there are victories of faith and we need to celebrate those victories. Because we do that much more than we do the other. We have faith much more than we have unbelief, yet we don't celebrate enough to remind ourselves of that. So Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 said this, yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God the Father, and being fully assured that what God the Father had promised, he was also able to perform. See, that's us. And now Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. See, as unbelievable as they may seem, the Lord's promises are our guarantee. And I invite you to ask yourself, what are the things that the Lord has promised to you? And I invite you to ask yourself, are you in a condition of unbelief about that? Or are you in a condition of faith about it? I invite you to ask yourself whether you think you have to fulfill those promises or whether you think God's going to do it. Are you going to do what Abraham did and try to force the issue? Or are you going to let God come through in his timing? Because he always comes through. See, that's what I think about when I think of Barah Ministries. You know, we have a beautiful location here. And it's going to continue to get more and more beautiful. In the month of September, you're going to see, you're going to meet the architect who is going to be putting the plans together for our location over on Burke. And you're going to start to see that become tangible. And you're going to see me finding investors to invest in that building, because we, as a small congregation, will never be able to generate the money on our own. You see, we're the 100-year-old. You know, we're 7 years old as a church, but we're the 100-year-old, because we're never going to be able to generate that money on our own. And God has us exactly where he wants us. And where is that? He's going to come through for us. And we're going to get to see it. We're going to get to stand back and watch the deliverance of the Lord. We're going to see what he does for us. We're going to have our faith in him rewarded. See? Why? Because he always comes through. And when you look around, as unbelievable as it may seem, this isn't going to be your circumstance forever. You're going to be coming here one day and you're going to be kind of mad. It's like, man, what happened to the little intimate church? Why are all these people coming up in here? Hey, that's my seat. So we're going to figure out a way to let you leave your books on your seat so nobody takes your seat, all right? It's not going to be like this for us forever. You know how I know? Because I have faith. I have faith that if we do those things which God is asking us to do, he will come through for us. And I have faith that if we don't do those things which God is asking us to do, he will come through for us. You see, that's the way he is. And as unbelievable as they may seem, the Lord's promises are always a guarantee. And he is always going to come through for us, whether we make mistakes or not. And so we got to see that. Genesis 16, 17, 18, 21. We got to see Abraham and Sarah making mistakes, taking matters into their own hands, trying to force the issue, and God comes and says, hey, remember this, I promised you something, I'm going to deliver, and then we got to see him do it. That's exactly what our experience is going to be, because Abraham and Sarah are no more special in God's eyes than we are. And he's going to come through for us exactly the same way. I know it. And that is encouraging to me. And it should be very encouraging to you. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. When God makes a request of us, we should do it because it's for our own good. Exodus 14:13. Do not fear. Stand back and watch the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Closing song, I Can't Disappoint You. This one of your new ones?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Your love's not the love of man. You don't give it and take it away. It is in your grace I stand, and your mercy's anew every day. You don't make me jump through hoops. I can't do nothing to earn your love. You know me eternally, and your love is unconditional. unconditional, and I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me in and out. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you. Oh no, I can't disappoint you. Lord, you have forgiven me. I've been forgiven of all of my sins. You remember to forget. You won't bring them up to me again. And you've given me your righteousness, made me perfect. Now I'm in your hands. You bore all my guilt and shame. You're the rock upon which I stand. And I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me in and out. Your love remains, it remains the same. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you. Oh no, I can't disappoint you. Oh, you're all-knowing God, never caught off guard. Saw all I would do, yeah, you knew my heart. Before time began, you chose to provide all I'd ever need. Nothing's on the fly. I'm in union with you. My position is secure, and you cannot deny. For all eternity, I'm yours. Your love will remain, it remains the same. You won't take it away, 'cause I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me in and out. I can't disappoint you or ever let you down. I cannot surprise you, you know me. I can never, ever, ever disappoint you.
June's specialty is those songs that end just... And I'm sitting there going, oh, it's time to get up. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for showing us that the biblical characters that you've chosen to illustrate are humans just like us. You know, they doubt and they wonder and, you know, they're nervous and fearful just like we are. But then you show us exactly the whole story. The whole story is that everything centers on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always the beginning of every story and the ending of every story. And the stories all end the same way in victory for the believer in Christ. And just we thank you for that. And we pray that we may gain confidence, all of us who hear your word, we may gain confidence. We might move from confusion to clarity to confidence because we know that you're on our side. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are reflections of your unconditional love, your magnificent person, your perfect thinking, your impeccable work, and your indescribable essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.